Welcome to the Financial Flows Podcast, hosted by Greg and Antonio, who possess over 25 years of combined corporate America's experience and a decade plus of entrepreneurship.
Welcome back to the Financial Flows Podcast, where we talk about all things personal finance, corporate America, real estate, entrepreneurship, you name it, we discuss it. And today is not going to be any different. Today we have a great topic coming to you. It's one of those ones you can probably have to rewind and you know, take some time to deep dive into it, because it's a high level topic, but at the same time, it can get a little confusing at times. So hopefully the conversation we have today will enlighten you, will open up your eyes, leave you with, you know, your answers, your questions answered, and, you know, make you want to go out and research a little bit more. But before we dive in, I want to touch base with my guy, Greg, see how he doing. What's going on with you, bro?
Man, life moving at a rapid pace. We're in the fifth month of the year, so I think that says everything in and of itself. So just like life is moving, I'm ready to get through this episode and into the details, because we have a guest that I'm excited to talk to that I'm more than sure the listeners will have a lot to take away from. I'm good, man, and we're going to be better once we get through this interview so we get this information to the people.
So before we introduce our guest, we both have a special ties to him. You know, I graduated from McDonough 35 with him. Greg went to Grambling State University with him as well. So I would like to go ahead and turn it over to you, let you introduce yourself, you know, tell the people what you do, how long you've been doing it, things like that.
What's going on, man? Thank y'all for having me, man. Just, man, blessed to be here, man. Like Greg was saying, man, Q1 over going into Q2, man, it's been awesome. Just business and helping people. But for the people who don't know, obviously graduated from McDonough 35. With cousins, and then went to Grambling State University with Greg. We call it GFAS, if you don't know GFAS. You know, right now, you know, did mental health for over 10 years and then went into entrepreneurship in the financial services industry. So I'm licensed and, you know, life insurance and annuities. So I think that'll be most about the topic today of who we are, what we do, how we helping families, how we are helping people create generational wealth. So I guess that would be the topic today.
Okay. We got Kendrick Williams in the building, man. He didn't even say his own name.
Oh,
we got
Kendrick Williams. I thought it was on the Zoom. You see, Kendrick Williams, by the way, guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that, man. I want to start, you know, we talk about life insurance. There's a whole lot of different avenues you can go with this, but just from the layman's perspective, can you just break it down, what it is, the benefits of it, things like that?
So for sure, I mean, most people heard of the word life insurance and what immediately comes to your mind, right? Death. But in actuality, we have insurance on our cars, our phones, our homes, right? But you don't have insurance on your life. So life insurance is designed for you to have life insurance while you're alive. Not, of course, it works when you pass away, but a lot of these concepts are utilized while you're alive. So I can break it down to you guys today, just based off specific questions, but that's in essence what it is.
So you're talking about like term insurance, things like that? What you talking about?
So you have term life insurance, you have permanent life insurance, but under term, there's ROP, refund of premium. A lot of people don't know that you can actually purchase a term, and after that term, you can actually get all your money back. A lot of people don't know that. So there's a refund of premium type of term. And then permanent. A lot of people think permanent is just traditional whole life. No, there's whole life, there's universal life, there's index universal life, there's variable universal life. There's so many concepts that people are unaware of, and that's how I educate the people.
Man, dude, you just said something. I know, Greg, you want to join in, but man, I've never heard that before. Refund of premium. I would love to know more about that, whether we talk about here or afterwards, because I have term, I also have a IUL. But I've never heard that before. Nobody's ever educated me on that one.
Yeah. So
we could talk more, or you could just
briefly. Yeah. So I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people don't like term. Term is basically for you. I know cousins, you're in real estate, and I think Greg, he got his hands on some properties too. But in essence, what the term insurance does is also a mortgage protection. So let's just say you got a client. Let's say I got a husband and a wife. So this is good for you guys to know too. Let's say you got a husband and a wife that purchases a policy, okay? And they get a mortgage for, you know, what's the average home? $400,000 for 30 years, whatever the case may be. What I would do is get the husband and the wife a 30-year term for $400,000. If the husband or the wife should pass away, the term policy actually pays off the home, not leaving that surviving spouse with the bills to pay by themselves.
Right.
In actuality, also the debt benefits you can use for living benefits. So even if one of the husband or the wife should get sick, critical, chronic, or terminal illness, they can advance that debt benefit while they're alive. Okay. So that's heart attack, stroke, cancer, couldn't perform 2 out of the 6 daily living activities. They can actually use that debt benefit while they're alive. So again, the debt benefit is not only for when you pass away, if you are a hip to how life insurance works.
Yeah, that's powerful. You know, I was introduced to the concept maybe 2008, 2009. And, you know, there's a lot that I've learned since then and being in so many different circles and meeting individuals and still seeing, especially in our community, dare I say how misinformed we are or unaware we are of two things. Not just the need to have life insurance, so I would love for you to expound upon that, but also, as you mentioned, the holistic benefits of why this should be a major anchor inside of every family's quote unquote core competencies financially or journey for generational wealth, which is a whole nother unlock.
Yeah. And to that point, Greg, is we teach a lot, not just protecting your family in case the worst happens. A lot of people don't know that Walt Disney, he actually used a cash value life insurance policy to start Disneyland. So I work with a lot of real estate investors that they'll put $100,000 inside the policy. After 30 days, they take a loan against the policy. They do a participating loan, meaning a participating loan means the money is still working inside the policy, getting at least 5 to 8% on average. That's what the last 20 years looks like in the index universal life policy. And that money, that 100 grand is working over him. That profit from this project pays off the loan. If you wanted to, if you don't want it to, guess what? Let's say you borrowed $100,000 from the policy and your debt benefit is $200,000. If and when you pass away, guess what? Your family only gets the $100,000.
Yes, deducted.
So yeah, you're just using the policy as leverage. So a lot of people don't know how it works, but this concept has been going, it's been around Walt Disney, JCPenney, Ray Kroc and McDonald's. All these guys use this type of policy to get the business off the ground.
So yeah, that's huge. Can you also expound for anybody listening, they're thinking about that component when you think about the financial upside, the ability to maximize the policy as leverage and utilize it in a strategic way for business purposes. Hey, if you didn't pay it back, as you mentioned, you have that opportunity. If you pass, it's deducted from the death benefit. But then also separate and apart, you mentioned how, hey, it's still actively participating in the capital markets with upside potential. But can you also enlighten the audience on that downside protection piece, which I think is a huge unlock?
So anytime you guys put your money in anything, this is for anybody listening, you want, it's four components, right? It's four components. Is my money liquid? Is it safe? Do I get a rate of return? And do I have tax advantages? So when I'm in a community, I don't care if, you know, Joe Blow down the street say, hey, gee, can I borrow, let me loan me $1,000. Hey man, go put your money in this crypto or this, whatever, all this stuff coming out. Those are the four questions you got to ask yourself. Is my money liquid? Meaning, is it accessible right away if I have an emergency? Can I touch my money? Number two, is it safe? Is that particular industry or what that financial concept, is it safe? Like you say, down that protection, that principal protection. Number three, rate of return. What's the average rate of return? Right. And of course, we all got that one uncle that we love so much, right? Uncle Sam. Do I get advantages with my uncle? Right. So those are the four concepts that I teach. And specifically in the index strategy, you have principal protection where you have a floor of zero. And you most likely some it depends on what allocations, what products you have, allocations of a cap of 9%, 10%, sometimes even 12%. But let's just say call it 10%. Let's say you got 100 grand inside a policy. Your floor is zero, but your cap is 10%. So if the market does 12%, how much you get? 10%. Yeah. If the, if you have 100 grand and the market does negative 2%, your 100 grand
zero
safe, right? So that's the concept. And when you talk about uninterrupted compound interest, that's what that means, because you can go put your money in a mutual fund, 401k, IRA, whatever the case may be, but it's going to be interrupted at some point because you have your money, you grow with the market, you lose with the market, right? So my goal with my clients is to have them have a diversification in their portfolio. I'm not saying take all your money out of the bank, all your money out the IRA, 401k, real estate, all that. No, let's put some money in a safe vehicle where you know for sure that your money can get an upside and your money won't, you won't ever lose your money. So like 9/11, 08, 09, COVID-19, a lot of people lost 30-40% of their portfolio in stock, in the stock market. So what happens is, if what if you had, you know, your money in different places and one of them just happened to be in the life insurance industry, you know for sure you don't have to hold your breath to reveal your financial portfolio and life insurance. So that's what I would say about that strategy.
Man, I always hear people say it has to be structured properly, but what does that actually mean?
So what that means is, if you get with the wrong agent, we have what's called a target premium, right? So agents get paid off how much the debt benefit is, meaning cost of insurance, mm-hmm. right? So in the IUL, most of the time, more than half of the time, people are utilizing that to minimize the debt benefit and max the cash value. Mm-hmm. Meaning, let's just say I'm talking to Mr. Klein. Mr. Klein has, you know, he's putting in $500 a month, and his debt benefit, his minimum debt benefit is $100,000. But that cost of insurance based off age, gender, and health is $100. That's all that's for. So you're overfunding the cost of insurance that goes into a cash value component. So that $400 extra goes into that cash value component, the index universal policy, right? The cash value. And what happens? That money continues to, you know, it mirrors the S&P 500, and you get, you can get return, or you can not get a return based off that floor, but you won't ever lose. So that's how that works. You want to get with an agent that knows how to structure it, because everybody has a different strategy. If I'm talking to Greg, and Greg is a, you know, he's a real estate investor, and he has a strategy that he's trying to, have a goal of a strategy he's trying to have 5 years down the line, I'm going to structure that according to his strategy. I might sit down with you, Antonio, and you're like, hey, man, look, my strategy is just to have an annual lifetime income from this type of policy, because you can turn on an annual lifetime income at retirement age of these policies, and it pays you like a pension. A lot of people don't know that. So this is called a life insurance retirement plan. So at the age of 60, 65, you can say, hey, I got $1 million in my policy. Let me turn on an annual lifetime income that's going to pay me tax-free for the rest of my life. And you'll get paid 60, 50 grand annually for the rest of your life, no questions asked.
Gotcha. So when people say structure properly, they mean debt benefit low so that they can take advantage of the cash value portion. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. I guess insurance agents don't really get, from what I hear, insurance agents don't really get paid much when they keep the debt benefit low. Is that true?
Yeah, because the target premium, you get the minimum debt benefit, so that brings the target down. Okay. So if you see a target premium, you want to have room for error from the annual premium. So what that means is if the agent is doing what's best for him and his family and his pockets, he's gonna boost that debt benefit up. Right. But there's something called a modified endowment contract, which means that's the limit that you can put into that policy annually. Anything over that limit becomes taxable. So what happens is, it's just regulated where you can't just purchase the least amount of debt benefit and put $1 million in an account and just like get over on the system. So the IRS does have some, you know, say so and all that good stuff. But in essence, you want to make sure you get with an agent that's basically finding out what you want, not what I want, what you want. So when I'm sitting down with my client, Mr. Client, what's your strategy? Does this policy even make sense for you? Because the IUL is not just for any market. If I come across a client that says, hey, I want an IUL, but I want to, I'm 35 years old and I want to tuck $100 away. No, bro, you need a term policy and you need to make additional income because the IUL is just not for you. The IUL is for somebody who wants to have tax advantages. They have enough money that they can contribute to this and actually have the policy working in favor.
Something I think would be beneficial as well. I want to look at two different components, personal and professional, right? So personal and business. And you hear this and see this sometimes, whether it's a small business, entrepreneur, mom and pop style, or even medium size where you have multiple partners, JV, you know, let's say Antonio, myself, and another individual decided to partner together and build this construction firm. And, you know, we go from doing 10 houses a year to 100 in 5 years. How do you ensure that there's a strategy for business owners as it relates to life insurance tied to that key person concept that can keep the business flowing in the, you know, in the event of a potential loss of one of those contributors?
Yeah, great question. So that key man is called a key man policy. So if you're in business with somebody, let's just say you and Antonio, y'all go do a major project together. I'm talking about worth multi-millions, and y'all living together. You guys will want to have a policy on one another, right? In case something happens, so that the investment that Antonio was putting in with you guys is covered. Vice versa, they have the investment that Greg was, right? So that way that project is safe. I mean, your family is safe, you know, of course your livelihood, but at the end of the day, that's all a key man is. Whoever you're in business with, y'all have a financial interest together. You want to have that key man policy. It can be a barbershop. It can be two guys going in on a barbershop. It can be two guys going in on a trucking company. You might have a key employee that's really detrimental to your business. You can put a policy on that person. And guess what? If something happens to that employee, what happens? You have that money, not only to, you know, replace that person's work and get somebody else trained for the job. You also keep your business flowing.
Yeah, that's huge. And so I'll say this in case it sounds very different, unique, or foreign to anybody listening. If you've been in corporate America and you've been in management, especially if you've attained any senior or mid-level management level, your company more than likely has a key person life insurance policy on you, right? So when you see it, you'll see that the company has a vested interest and they'll say, hey, this is a life insurance policy that the company pays on your behalf, et cetera. Just know the company has a life insurance policy on you in the event that you pass. And quite transparently, working for a Fortune 50 company for over 12 years, in the last 14 months, I know three individuals personally who's passed away while working at the company. Two of them in their 30s and one in their 50s. Right. And so it's a real thing as to why we're having these conversations, but also looking at it from multiple angles so that everyone is equipped with the right information to make the best decision.
You know, what's crazy that we're talking about this. A lot of these record labels, all that means that this might spark a conversation for whoever watching this. People think that because of record label, if Antonio, the almost he upcoming rapper, he a stud, he do his thing, boom boom boom, he's generating a certain amount of income, but he still live that life, right? He's still out on the streets, he's still with the homies, he's still gang, whatever he do, I'm gonna put a whatever I invested into Antonio, I'm gonna put a key man life insurance policy on Antonio because I gotta protect my investment. I just fronted this man $1 million. Because I know on the back end, we're going to make $10 million with these hits he's about to come out with. But if he run in the street and he get, you know, smashed at a, you know, killed at a club, or whatever, you know, drive, whatever they're doing, my investment is protected.
Hey, bro, don't put that on me, bro. Don't put that on me.
Stay out the streets, man. Stay out the streets, man. Stay out the streets.
We have a successful real estate business, man. You good. But I just wanted to use that for example.
So how that work though?
It is important because I know Antonio has a brokerage, 24 plus individuals that he's in partnership with. So what's your thoughts there, man?
That's why I'm asking. Like, so anybody could put insurance policy on me without my consent? Or how does that work?
Now, it has to be insurable interest. So you can't just go put a policy. I can't just, if I'm in your brokerage, I can't, let me go put a policy on Antonio.
On Warren Buffett. He's like, let me get a policy on Warren Buffett.
Like, nah, it has to be insurable interest and both parties have to consent. So, okay. Yeah, that's definitely a lawsuit if somebody tried to do that.
But that's with business and personal too. Like family, I could get a policy on my grandmother, stuff like that.
That's the other area I want to go in for personal. Can you unpack that piece, right? In a Black community especially, right? You said a lot of this stuff has been around for a while. And I am speaking in a very narrow lens. I'm speaking in a place that resonates most with me. In the Black community, this is a very taboo-oriented topic. It's been uncomfortable for a lot of people. And when you talk about life insurance, the thought process is death and loss. And if you think about it in any terms of advancement for the future, to sustain, to mitigate debt, any of those things, for some reason, it also makes people uncomfortable because they think you're trying to capitalize on a negative thing. And so can you unpack some of your experience and then any insight from the industry perspective that can help like put some of that to rest?
Yeah, I mean, it comes back just to the mindset of our community, just the education of any topic, especially we're talking about life insurance, but sometimes we're just ignorant to certain topics. We go by what we hear, we go by what other people think instead of actually understanding the facts. So my question would be to anybody watching this is, you got to ask this one question and it'll solve it all. Is it a 50% chance that we're going to die one day or 100% chance? 101% chance at that, right? It's going to happen. So if we know that this is going to happen for sure, it's not a if, it's a when, why not have this in place for our family? If we quote unquote always talking about money in our community, we always talk about generational wealth. That's a term that's always thrown out there, you know, rapidly and loosely. Of generational wealth, if we're really serious about it, why don't we get, I think Master P came to one of our conventions last year. He said, if every parent gets $1 million policy on every kid for about 50 to $100, every time we can go Black on Black crime and we can go on police brutality. If the police keep killing Black unarmed Black African-American men or women, whatever the case may be, guess what happens when these companies start having to pay out this money? They're going to be like, hold on, they're going to get involved in this protest. They're going to get involved because they start to lose money.
Yeah, the lobbying looks different.
So now, guess what? We ain't got to, it's not going to just be us marching the streets, protesting. It's going to be American National, Mutual, it's going to be these big companies like, hey, man, billion-dollar companies backing like, hey, bro, y'all need to stop killing these people, right? So that's that part.
I think it's a really good point. I know it could be controversial, but if you could take the message of what he's saying, it is when we have a greater vested interest, then the economics is always what grabs people's attention. That's always what causes change because economics, the color doesn't matter. When you start talking green, everybody has something to say and feels a weight. And so I think that's one important part as we're thinking about inside of our community, because you have these instances where not only is a family member passing, you know, there are too many times where someone's passing and we have to put money together to support them, or they're passing and then you're trying to figure out what to do once they're gone with their things, with their obligations. Not to mention, I mentioned this in conversation within the last week. I said, but how about we change the narrative? Instead of it being just a passing, and then we think of, oh, this person passed and how we mourn them and move on. Man, I want it to be truly a monumental moment and commemorate to where it's like, how do you celebrate that person's life through them forever living by what they're able to do for those they leave behind through life insurance?
Yeah.
Right? Like really changing the whole game. That says, how would our kids and our kids' kids think of their grandparents if they left them $1 million? Like, you'd be like, oh my God, like, wow, right? And so they forever live. And so that was just something that resonated with me where I said, man, it could take a different approach to this that could truly change the game. So that was huge that I did want to share. And the other piece you mentioned about Omaha, I heard that come up. A lot of people don't know this, but You know, Warren Buffett is very famous for all of his investments, Coca-Cola, Apple, all of the things. But can you tell people what Warren Buffett primarily does?
I'm assuming he said, can you tell people what Warren Buffett primarily does? I'm assuming it has something to do with insurance.
I mean, I don't know exactly, but I know a lot of these companies, a lot of these businesses get jump started with life insurance. So I don't know. Inform us, Greg.
More than 50%+ of their revenue over the company's time in existence has come from insurance.
Wow.
It's a cash cow. It's giving him the opportunity to invest in these other entities. So when you hear Omaha,
I believe you, man.
So again, just dropping some information that can help each and every one of us. There's so many different variations, man. It's so many things that we could unpack that we hadn't even scratched the surface on. But if you are thinking about what your experience has been, you think about inflation, you think about economic turmoil, you think about upcoming elections, right? You think about unemployment, all these different things. Where do you see life insurance in this mix? And what advice would you share for anyone listening as we think about closing out this conversation?
You brought up if you're listening to this conversation, that success leaves clues,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you just name drop, you know, Warren Buffett, you got to think about other names too. Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson, actually, more than half of his wealth comes from owning a life insurance company, not from playing ball. Second thing, Jay-Z, Kevin Durant, what's the other guy? Jay-Z, Kevin Durant, Will Smith. They all came together and started a life insurance company called Ethos. The success leaves clues. So with that being said, the success, the clues are out there where whether you enter the industry, whether you become a client and own your own life insurance policy to create generational wealth that actually pays your family tax-free, right? Those are some of the things that you have to start looking into. Of clues, success leaves clues. The Rockefellers, you know, they have a family trust, a family bank. Every time somebody dies, that debt benefit goes into the family bank. And they have stipulations and rules for people to get that money to go out and purchase and invest into assets. So if you're listening to this call, I would say, man, life insurance is the foundation. It's the foundation of your everything. So you can have all the real estate property. You can have all the businesses. You can have all the assets. If your foundation isn't life insurance, y'all in real estate, right? What you start? You start with the foundation or the roof. Your foundation is life insurance because if you got sick or hurt, or even when you get older for long-term care, most people have to exhaust their 401ks, their savings. They have to go sell off properties. They have to go do different things. But if you have this life insurance that protects all of that you work for your whole life, and it passes down all that stuff, where your name and your legacy continues to go for years. Did you know after two generations, you're forgotten about and your wealth is done? So you got to ask yourself, if we're on a call, do we know our great, great, great grandfather? Some of we don't. And it's not because they wasn't a good person. They just didn't create nothing of significance we didn't have the opportunity back then. We have the opportunity to do that. So my kids can know where I am. Hey, Dad started this life insurance in the business. And now guess what? It's still going for generations. Hey, Antonio started this real estate brokerage. And now his kids, they always going to remember. They're going to see videos like this. Like, man, look at Pops. Four, five generations down, man, you look just like your great, 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 great grandfather, right? Same thing for you, G, right? Like, I look just like him. Yeah. But that's what I would say, man.
You bring up a good point, dog. I think it really has a lot to do with exposure and the fact that we are not exposed to that kind of information. It's available now, but growing up, we were not exposed to it. One thing that I do as a family, me, my wife, and the two kids, my two sons, We meet every Sunday and we have our what we call a family meeting. So during the family meeting, we talk about what went well the previous week, what we're looking forward to the next week. And then once they're old enough, we're going to start talking about the finances. So I think that's when we're going to introduce them into life insurance, because we all have, all four of us in this house have policies. And so I'm doing basically what you just talked about. I want to make sure that whenever my day does come, I'm leaving a legacy for them to continue that. But I think the family meeting helps with that exposure piece, because we get to talk about that stuff. A lot of families, they shy from talking about finances, but I think that's a good, healthy habit to have. So something like that, a weekly meeting, you know, would go a long ways if you were to incorporate something like that.
I can tell y'all this, man. I went to school with both of y'all. The last 4 years in this industry, I learned more about money from my high school career, my college, career, whatever the case may be. I learned more about money in the last 3-4 years than all those years combined, man. They don't, in school, they just don't teach us about money. They don't, you have economic classes, accounting classes. That's just, you know, I think I used to fall asleep in those classes, but at the end of the day, we're going to school to become an employee, to work for somebody else, which you don't have to work. You don't have to learn about money to do that. But when you go into entrepreneurship, which all of us on the call has done for ourselves, that's the conversation where you learn how to go make your own money and you know how money works. So I know from the last 4 years, man, I haven't collected a check from an employee. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the last 4 years, I know you guys have your own story when the last time you collected a check from an employee, but you guys are doing your own thing as entrepreneurs. So that's another thing. Well, I'm teaching my kids how to, you can have a choice. I wouldn't take, like, college was great, man. I wouldn't take that experience was great, but you just got to understand what's after that, what you have to have plans moving forward. But yeah.
Agree 100%. So as we wrap up this episode, man, let me ask you one question. Like, what advice would you give to individuals who they're considering life insurance, but they really are unsure where to start and what policy to choose?
Sit down with somebody you trust. You guys wouldn't have me on the call if I wasn't a trusted source, but sit down with somebody, if it's not me, somebody you trust, somebody that's credible, somebody that's have experience. And if you get an intuition that this person is doing what's best for me, do business with that person. But you want to sit down with somebody who does a strategic financial analysis to see what you got going and coming in, what you got going out, what's your discretionary income after all your bills are paid. How much are you saving, check to check, and how much can you, a percentage of that you can, you know, invest into life insurance and get your family straight. So that's what advice I would give to anybody listening to this, and have an open mind. First of all, you know, life insurance is not a death sentence. Life insurance is to be used while you're alive. And a lot of people like, hey, if I get life insurance, I'm gonna get hit by a car tomorrow. Like, that's just how people think, right? But somebody going, you know, one of my family members going to take me out. You know, but no, have an open mind, sit down with somebody you trust and somebody with experience.
That's a great point. And, you know, I would wrap with that too, just saying to anybody listening, we didn't mention it this way, but more often than not, I'm almost sure it's a guarantee. I just don't want to put my foot in my mouth per se. Mm-hmm. Life insurance, the cheapest it will ever be is the how old you are today. So if you think about it that way, it's not going on sale next year, 2 years, 3 years from now. The best help that you're going to have is now. So don't ever forget that, man, because there's a lot of situations where some individuals end up in a position where their insurability changes and it can negatively impact your affordability or even coverage opportunity. So let's not let that be you. Kendrick, man, tell the people where they can find you, reach you in case they are interested to talk.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank y'all for having me, man. My Instagram is essence_wealth. On IG, essence_wealth on IG. You can reach me there. You can shoot me a DM. I do have a Candidly link where you can book a free consultation with me for 30 minutes on a Zoom call or in person if you're here in Dallas, Texas, and we can sit down and do a financial analysis. So that's how you can reach me.
Yep. Well, appreciate you, my brother. I'll go ahead and link it in the comments. Greg, I'm going to steal that quote because that was amazing. I like that one. Never heard it before, so I'm definitely stealing that one. And yeah, Kendrick, we appreciate you, bro. We might have to do a part two. I know I'm going to hit you up on the side because they got a lot of stuff I wanted to ask you about, but it's to my personal situation. So I ain't going to put it on. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Man, y'all have a great day, man. Thanks for having me. Talk to y'all soon, man.